It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ammonia is a renewable fuel that is made from sun, air, and water. It's one of the most commonly produced chemicals in the world, used to power buses in Belgium as far back as 1943. And unlike fossil fuels, ammonia could be used to create energy without producing greenhouse gases. Join in on ammonia, how to power cars, produce electricity, future for farmers processing manure, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Barry is a chemistry professor at UW-Madison. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, give us some working knowledge here. How can ammonia be used as a fuel, because it's super dangerous, smelly, classified as extremely hazardous substance? Give us some insight.
Yeah, well, you have to put it in context. Gasoline's not that much better, is it? One of the advantages of ammonia is, you know, it's a compound that contains one nitrogen atom and three hydrogen atoms. There's no carbon in it. That means when you burn it, you don't make any CO2.
Okay, and so now explain here the process of how you get to a fuel source.
Yeah, so you know, as was done in Belgium in the 1940s, you could put it into an internal combustion engine and burn it. And there's people working on trying to improve that process today. It's a little bit dirty because that can produce some nitrogen oxides, which are not very good for the environment. So one of the ways that people are trying to improve on that is with ammonia-powered fuel cells. And that's where my lab has made an interesting discovery that that could really change how these things work.
What has your lab discovered? What have you found?
So our discovery really, there's two parts to it. So I'm a synthetic chemist. We make new compounds. And one of the compounds that we synthesized, we found that it reacts spontaneously with ammonia to oxidize it to elemental nitrogen. And moreover, that we can regenerate this active form of the compound or the catalyst either at an electrochemical or at an electrode, or with molecular oxygen. And what this means is that, you know, this tiny little compound acts as a little tiny internal combustion engine on its own that's able to burn ammonia. And because of the fact that we can do this at an electrode, that means that we can harness the energy of combustion and get that into electricity.
Well, when you talk about internal combustion and internal combustion engines that could potentially power cars and trucks, other modes of transportation, wouldn't you need to change how the engine works to support ammonia?
Yes. And, you know, the major push now is to go from internal combustion to fuel cells, where basically this the energy in ammonia is harvested as electricity. And so right now, one of the big pushes in ammonia is in the maritime shipping industry, where they're now creating container ships that will run off of ammonia instead of really dirty bunker fuel. And these are running with what are called solid oxide fuel cells.
So, you know, ammonia is a big polluter in industrial chemical production. Is it really possible to reduce emissions from the current ammonia production process? I think they call it the Haber-Bosch process.
Yeah, so that's another part of the problem of trying to switch to a ammonia or nitrogen economy. We have to find ways of cleaning up the ammonia synthesis process. So right now, the reason that it's problematic is because of where we get our hydrogen atoms from, you know, nitrogen and three hydrogens. The three hydrogen atoms right now are coming from fossil fuels. And we'd like to go beyond the Haber-Bosch process to get ammonia from hydrogen atoms that are coming from a more clean source like water.
So that's still a challenge.
It's still outstanding.
Right. And there's this term green ammonia, it's been called. Why is it called green ammonia, and where is that terminology coming from?
It comes from the methods of hydrogen production. So elemental hydrogen is not something that's found on the earth. We have to make it from chemical sources. And, you know, in the old days, we would make it from coal gasification. That would be called brown hydrogen, and ammonia that's made from that would be called brown ammonia. Now that we're getting it from natural gas, they call that gray, you know, hydrogen or gray ammonia. And the goal is really green ammonia, where those hydrogen atoms are coming from water rather than fossil fuel.
How do you, scale up a new green ammonia production method? Is scaling ammonia, green ammonia, an issue to becoming a viable energy source?
Yes, it is. That, I think, is going to be the major challenge, and that's an engineering challenge more so than a chemistry challenge, because right now a Haber-Bosch plant will make huge amounts of ammonia. When they're operating efficiently, they'll fill 50 tanker cars per day of ammonia. And so that just requires an absolutely enormous amount of hydrogen. And with what we can do right now, making hydrogen from water through an electrolysis process or with concentrated solar power, we just can't make enough hydrogen fast enough to feed a Haber-Bosch plant. So that's an engineering challenge.
We're talking about how ammonia could be used as a clean fuel source with John Barry, a chemistry professor at UW-Madison. You can join in with your questions about ammonia, how you see it used in the future, and whether it would be viable as we look to change the electric grid to clean fuels. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Can we talk a little more about this element ruthenium and what it would mean to the process of making ammonia a clean energy source? What have you found out about ruthenium?
Yeah, ruthenium is one of my favorite elements. ruthenium is, you've probably never heard of it before.
No, I have not.
it's right below iron on the periodic table.
Okay.
And it's actually even better at performing the Haber-Bosch reaction than iron is. So it's well known in the community of people who think about ammonia. What we've discovered is that when you take two ruthenium atoms and bond them together, you get a catalyst for ammonia oxidation that operates at much lower potentials, which means you can potentially get more energy out of the system. So that was a really cool discovery.
That's a cool discovery, but is there, how do you get access to this element? Is there enough of it on our Earth? And, that's always a question as to how to mine these rare elements.
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons that I focus on the area of catalysis. The way a catalyst works is that it performs a reaction, but is then unchanged at the end of that reaction, which means you can take a tiny amount of, say, a precious metal like ruthenium and perform the reaction many, many times with that small amount of catalyst so that you can make the most of the small amount of these elements that are available.
We're exploring future uses for ammonia, this colorless, highly irritating gas with that sharp, suffocating smell. UW-Madison chemistry professor John Barry with us, explaining breakthroughs in ammonia as an energy source and a fuel. Join in 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring future uses for ammonia, one of the most commonly produced chemicals. We use it to clean bathrooms, make fertilizer for crops. But could it also be used to create energy without any greenhouse emissions? Join in with your questions about ammonia, its potential in energy storage, green ammonia, and use. 800-642-1234. John Barry, chemistry professor at UW-Madison with us. His lab recently made a discovery with ammonia, and he stays with us. Let's bring on a call. Tony is here from Sturgeon Bay. Tony, hi. What would you like to ask?
I'd like to ask John what he thinks the doability of using ammonia in solar-powered absorption air conditioning systems, and could it become the perfect refrigerant in a sealed hermetic system?
Oh, Tony, thank you. John?
Yeah, that's a great question. Ammonia is already very widely used in refrigeration, and you know, I would defer to colleagues in the engineering departments to really answer that question in more detail. But yeah, that's certainly a direction worth pursuing.
Does ammonia's track record of having been used as a fuel in the past inform where we take ammonia in the future?
It's an interesting question. I think part of the track record, so you know, it was used in Nazi Germany because the Allies had blockaded them. They couldn't get oil from the Middle East, but they had discovered the Haber-Bosch process, and so they started putting ammonia into internal combustion engines. And maybe partly because of the fact that it was Nazi Germany doing this, there's been maybe a bit more of a stigma of trying to think of using ammonia this way. But, you know, I think those times are past, and there's a lot of people that are really seeing that there's real possibilities here.
I have this eye on this NASA-backed study that will test ammonia as a carbon-free alternative to jet fuel. What are you watching for in aircraft?
Yeah, that is a direction that for sure needs a revolution. So anywhere where we're currently using fossil fuels, I'd like to see us move to something cleaner, and ammonia is a really good alternative.
Let's bring in Pete now in La Crosse. Pete, what's on your mind?
2 points. Excuse me. One is, I think, though, that ammonia, though irritating to us, I think it breaks down into benign products in the atmosphere. So I'd like to have the guests confirm that. Then the other thing to point out is that ammonia is a pressurized gas, almost exactly like propane at even similar vapor pressures. So it seems to me that the same storage tanks and the same distribution hardware, for the most part, can be used for either product, so we can repurpose the existing infrastructure to use propane, or correction, to use ammonia.
To use ammonia. Thanks. Yes, thank you, Pete. Two great areas to explore. John, first on the benign aspects of it.
Yeah, so what happens to ammonia if you just let ammonia gas go out into the atmosphere? It'll react with compounds like sulfuric acid or nitric acid to make ammonium sulfate or ammonium nitrate aerosol particles. And these do have adverse public health issues. So, you know, you don't want to have a huge amount of ammonia just going out into the atmosphere. Ammonia itself does have a negative global warming potential, but the aerosol issue is more worrisome.
And what about propane and any types of comparisons there?
Yeah, he's absolutely right about this. Storage and distribution, transportation of ammonia, these are solved problems, which is not the case if you think about other alternative fuels like hydrogen. Hydrogen also has a much more difficult safety consideration than ammonia does.
When you look at down on the farm, ammonia in fertilizers on the farm, there's manure. What impacts and opportunities do you see for farming?
Yeah, this is a really interesting area. We've been using ammonia as, 80% of all the ammonia that's produced is used in fertilizers for agriculture. And there is an awful lot of ammonia that is produced and is there in manure. And for types of farms where they are just stockpiling the manure, there's opportunities to try to recover ammonia from that, either to reuse as a fertilizer or for things like power generation.
What are the next steps for your lab as you look to make ammonia, much more of a potential for energy usage and source?
Yeah, good question. My coworkers are always coming up with new ideas to find ways of making our catalyst operate better. So that's one direction that we're pursuing. Another thing that we're doing, we're collaborating with a group in chemical engineering from Professor Marcel Schreier to try to actually build prototype fuel cells that operate with our catalyst in it.
What about fuel cells? Reverse fuel cell technology is out there, using the renewable energy in the water and the air into ammonia without needing that separate hydrogen process. Is that a possibility that could have, good yield, good potential?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's a huge potential for there's basically been a huge revolution recently in the area of electrochemistry, where people are thinking about how to use electrochemistry to drive new chemical reactions, as well as using known chemical reactions to produce electricity. And it's on the electricity production direction that we're focusing.
Right, because there's hydrogen from cracked ammonia. And I'm wondering if you could explain that versus ammonia as a standalone fuel, if you will.
Yeah, that's a great question. So the current fuel cells, the solid oxide fuel cells that people are trying to implement on container ships, they operate by basically heating up the ammonia to 1,000 degrees and cracking it into nitrogen and hydrogen, and then feeding the hydrogen into a fuel cell, because we have good technology already for hydrogen fuel cells. What we're focusing on is an electrochemical reaction that uses ammonia itself rather than trying to crack it apart in the first place. It involves direct interaction of ammonia with the catalyst rather than trying to split it apart beforehand.
John Barry with us, chemistry professor at UW-Madison, as we talk about the future of ammonia, its use, breakthroughs in his lab made recently that could lead to a cleaner form of energy. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. John, on this path to clean energy, reducing and moving away from fossil fuels, when you look at what needs to change to be able to reduce our carbon footprint, where do you see, realistically, ammonia in the mix?
It's a good question. And the difficulty in trying to answer that is that There was a study that came out that looked at, what it would take to transition the entire maritime shipping industry to ammonia instead of hydrocarbons. And they estimated that it would take our entire world's production of ammonia to be able to do that.
Wow.
So if you think about it that way, we would have to basically double the Earth's production of, or mankind's production of ammonia, just to satisfy that one industry. So we really need to, if we are serious about ammonia, we need to up our game.
Would it be the same for aircraft and jet fuel?
Yes.
The same type of impact?
Exactly.
Yeah. When you see that scale of how much ammonia would have to be produced, does that concern you at all because of putting so much into one compound, so much effort to make one compound that would basically elevate it beyond any others?
Well, yes and no. So the good news is that elemental nitrogen, which is the precursor for ammonia, it makes 80% of our atmosphere.
Hmm.
It's everywhere. It's not localized in certain parts of the globe that cause geopolitical issues. And if we can get the hydrogen atoms to come from water, which of course there's lots of water on the planet, I think there's a potential.
John, thank you so much for this conversation.
Yeah, this was fun.
John Barry is a chemistry professor at UW-Madison. And just ahead, weaning your infant from milk to solids, that journey. That is a journey, right? Often it means pureed baby food in jars, taking that spoon in that jar, making it be that airplane into their mouth. We learn a different way that gives babies more power over deciding what to eat. Join in on how you introduced solid foods to your baby. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.